Tonight, heartbreak and shock in Charleston. The stunning massacre in one of this city's most sacred places. Why did a young man walk into a historic black church, sit with praying parishioners, then shoot them in cold blood? 9 lives lost in an instant.
This is pure evil.
Tonight, the 13-hour manhunt and the hate crime investigation now underway. The photos of the suspect wearing racist symbols, his troubled history, and the gun he'd just gotten as a birthday present. And the victim, a coach, a librarian, a recent college graduate. Their story as our special coverage from Charleston starts now.
Charleston Church Massacre. This is NBC Nightly News. Reporting tonight from Charleston, South Carolina, Savannah Guthrie.
And good evening from this beautiful city where what unfolded just a few steps from here last night is almost too much to bear. It happened at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, Mother Emmanuel, as everyone here calls it, Wednesday night prayer service and Bible study, all welcome, no questions asked. A young man walked in, took a seat, and waited for up to an hour. And then police say Dylan Ruff stood up and started shooting. In the end, there were 9 dead, 1 injured, and countless broken hearts here. A stunning act of mass murder in a predominantly African-American house of worship. And tonight, it's being investigated as a hate crime. Tonight, what we know about the man in custody after an all-night manhunt. The stories of quiet and good lives cut tragically short. But first, what exactly happened when the peace was shattered here last night? Our team is in place, and we begin tonight with NBC's Chris Jansen.
The surveillance photos of Dylan Storm Ruff are unremarkable, but they were crucial in his arrest for one of the worst mass killings in South Carolina history.
That awful person who would go into a place of worship and people were praying and kill them is now in custody, where he will always remain.
Police say Ruff walked into the Emmanuel AME Church last night during a Bible study and sat for an hour before drawing a gun.
I spoke with one of the survivors, and she said that he had reloaded 5 different times. He just said, "I have to do it." He said, "You rape our women, and you've taken over our country, and you have to go."
When the shooting stopped, 9 people were dead, 6 women and 3 men, including the church's beloved pastor, Clemente Pinckney.
Have you allowed yourself time to think about what you've lost?
Yeah, but I still hadn't digested it. One moment I'm fine.
It's hard.
Yeah.
FBI, state, and local police swarmed the entire region. Dylan Ruff was on the run.
I've never seen or experienced what I would consider pure evil in my career, and this is pure evil.
Ruff would drive 250 miles to North Carolina.
Once we got the surveillance photos out, and then we got the 1-800 number up, we started to receive tips.
The decisive tip came late this morning when a local florist recognized the black Hyundai Elantra from the news and the distinctive haircut of the driver. Minutes later, the 13-hour manhunt ended when Ruff was arrested after a traffic stop.
Why did you do it?
But the night had taken an emotional toll.
We woke up today, and the heart and soul of South Carolina was broken.
A community in mourning, but in prayer, determined to come together again.
Community leaders tell me they refuse to answer violence with violence, and so tonight there is a vigil at a local Presbyterian church, and they will walk here to Mother Emmanuel. Meantime, investigators are looking forward to asking questions of Dylan Ruff, including one for which, frankly, there is no good answer, Savannah. Why? Chris Jansen, who's been here since late last night, thank you so much. And there is late word tonight that authorities have taken the suspect aboard a plane in Shelby, North Carolina, to fly him back here to Charleston. We are continuing to learn more about him, his background, his previous run-ins with the law, and past hints, perhaps, about the hate authorities believe he was carrying in his heart. Our Mark Potter has that part of the story.
21-year-old Dylan Storm Ruff was raised and lived in Columbia and Lexington, South Carolina. Earlier this year, he had some run-ins with the law. In March, at a Columbia mall, he was arrested on a felony charge of illegally possessing a prescription narcotic after employees told police he was asking suspicious questions about their operations. A month later, at that same mall, he was arrested on a misdemeanor trespass charge and was then banned from the mall for 3 years. His Facebook page showed Ruff posing in a jacket bearing patches of flags from the former white-controlled Rhodesia and from apartheid South Africa.
Is the FBI
South Carolina Senator and presidential candidate Lindsey Graham told ABC's The View his niece went to school with Ruff.
I don't know if he finished high school, but strange, disturbed young man.
Martha Joe says she would see Ruff at a local restaurant.
I can't really say, you know, sometimes you look at people with different haircuts and different eyes looking everything. And he just looked like he had really needed some love or something like that.
Records show Ruff went to school in Lexington. He entered high school there and repeated the ninth grade. No indication of whether he graduated. This afternoon, state agents were at the home in Columbia they say belongs to his father and told NBC station WIS they were there several hours searching the home. When we went there later this afternoon to ask questions, no one inside was willing to talk.
We're not talking to any reporters.
Are you Mr. Ruff?
I'll call the police.
You don't need John Leland.
Law enforcement officials say the gun used in the shooting was a gift from Ruff's father and that searches of Ruff's computer have not turned up anything to suggest that others were involved. And behind me is the house near Columbia that Ruff gave us his address when he was arrested a few months ago. Meantime, at a court hearing today, he waived counsel and agreed to come back to South Carolina. It's not decided if he'll be tried by the state or federal government. Both have the death penalty. Savannah?
All right, Mark Potter, thank you so much. Tonight, the community of Charleston is only just beginning to measure the toll, the aching loss of nine of their best, nine people living lives both ordinary and extraordinary, gathered together in prayer and now gone much too soon. NBC's Craig Melvin tonight with their story.
Charleston is a city in mourning. Nine are dead, six women and three men. Among those killed, the church's pastor, Clemente Pinckney, a 41-year-old married father of two who had preached at Emmanuel AME since he was a teenager.
God, we welcome and invite you into this place, your house. We thank you for the spirit that dwells here.
Pinckney was also a longtime member of the state Senate, where a black cloth was draped on a desk in his memory today.
Senator Pinckney was a giant. He was the moral compass of the General Assembly.
Several people who worked at the church are among the dead, including DePayne Middleton Doctor, a 49-year-old church minister who worked for Charleston County and retired in 2005. She was a mother of four. Sharonda Coleman Singleton, 45, who was a reverend at the church. She was a mom of three, speech therapist, and high school track and field coach. Tywanza Sanders, a 26-year-old barber who had recently graduated from South Carolina's Allen University. And Cynthia Hurd was a 54-year-old branch manager at St. Andrew's Library in Charleston, which will now be renamed in her honor. Her brother says the last 24 hours have been devastating.
We all were agonizing, knowing that she left home to go to church and not hearing from her for so many hours.
Also confirmed dead, 87-year-old Susie Jackson, 70-year-old Ethel Lance, 59-year-old Myra Thompson, and 74-year-old Daniel Simmons, who died after being taken to the hospital. Tonight, a community is coming together to remember nine lives tragically taken in their place of worship.
And Craig Melvin joins me now. You grew up not far from here. You know this church well.
Mother Emmanuel, as it's known to folks who live here and love that church. An elementary school field trip was my first trip there. We went to Fort Sumter. We went to the open-air slave market here in Charleston, and that was the final stop. It is that significant to the people of Charleston and the people of South Carolina.
The fabric of this place. Yeah. Craig, thank you so much for sharing with these stories. Among those who knew Pastor Clemente Pinckney, President Obama, and today the president spoke to express the grief of the nation.
There is something particularly heartbreaking about a death happening in a place in which we seek solace and we seek peace, in a place of worship. I've had to make statements like this too many times. Once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. And it is in our power to do something about it. The fact that this took place in a black church obviously also raises questions about a dark part of our history. And we know that hatred across races and faiths pose a particular threat to our democracy and our ideals.
President Obama earlier today, more than a dozen times he's had to speak after a mass shooting since he took office. As we mentioned, the steeple you see behind me stands for so much in this community, a place of worship steeped in history, in struggle, and most of all, faith. NBC's Ron Allen with that part of the story.
It is affectionately known as Mother Emmanuel since its founding some 200 years ago, a house of worship that has also been a pillar in the struggle for freedom and equality. Reverend Stephen Singleton is a former pastor.
When I was here, it was not unusual for us to have visitors from around the world.
Why did they come?
Because they heard about it.
In the church's storied history, several chapters like now written in blood. One of its earliest members, Denmark Vesey, the leader of a massive slave rebellion, the plot exposed, dozens executed, the church burned to the ground.
The history of our church.
Reverend Clemente Pinckney, killed in the attack last night, spoke about the spirit of the church for an upcoming documentary.
The church has a very proud history, a spirit of defiance and standing up for what is right and what is true.
Icons of the civil rights movement have worshipped here. Martin Luther King Jr., 1962, a speech about voting rights. This photo posted by the King Center today. Later, King's wife, Coretta Scott, led a hospital workers' march from the steps of the church. Now, in a city with a declining black population, less than a third, the church still on the forefront of the fight for social justice. And despite the attack, a congregation determined to carry on.
It's this kind of thing that drives people to God.
Mother Emmanuel was also known as a very open and welcoming church where it's not unusual to see strangers. One reason many say the attacker did not attract a lot of attention when he joined the prayer service. Savannah?
Thank you, Ron Allen. We're joined now by a man who loves this city and this state, himself a son of a minister, and he has spent many years working on the cause of civil rights, Congressman James Clyburn. It's good to see you under terrible circumstances.
Absolutely.
It's hard to put into words how aching this community is right now.
That's true. But I think from what I've been hearing today, these people are so appreciative of the way the mayor has conducted himself in this, the way the police chief last night did not hesitate to label this crime of what it should be labeled, and the way they went about apprehending the perpetrator. I think that started us on the road to healing. And the service today at noon, I thought was a very uplifting service. I've been in those kinds of services since the 60s. But as the bishop said, Bishop Bryant, I don't think I've ever seen an audience as with so much diversity in it. And the way they were sitting today, not in clusters, but people were sitting with each other, next to each other, holding on to each other, praying with each other. I felt real good coming out of that service, and I do believe that in spite of all that's bad about this, some good will come out of it.
And you knew many of these victims?
I knew them personally. Clemente, I've known since he was a student at Allen University. He was a very strong supporter of mine politically. His sister I knew very well. And there are two other victims that were very good friends, both personally and politically. And they are going to be losses for all of us. But we are going to use this as a way to move forward constructively.
The words we need to hear. Congressman Clyburn, thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Our coverage continues from Charleston in a moment, including stepped-up security at churches across the country, as this massacre brings to light just how many violent incidents are occurring in America's places of worship, soft targets for people looking to do harm. And also some stunning words from the Pope today, why he says the earth is beginning to look like, his words, an immense pile of filth. We are back from Charleston, the scene of this awful massacre. And what is so horrifying about this rampage is just how easy it was for a gunman to gain access to the church. As other public spaces have increased their security in recent decades, many churches and other places of worship have not, making them vulnerable targets. Our national correspondent, Kate Snow, reports.
At noon in St. Louis, the giant bell at the Christ Church Cathedral tolling in remembrance of those lost in Charleston. Minutes later, L.A.'s police chief announcing plans to beef up security at churches across that city.
We're even more concerned that this may keep people from following their faith and worshiping.
And in Newark, New Jersey, a similar discussion.
This church that you're standing in spends thousands of dollars a year for armed security, so that persons that come to worship can feel safe and feel protected.
But sadly, statistics show houses of worship are too frequently also the site of violent acts.
As I came into the lobby, I could see a man with a firearm in his hand.
Carl Chin was held hostage at a Christian organization. Now a security consultant, he estimates just last year there were 176 violent incidents at places of worship. Since the bombing at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham back in 1963, there have been 13 mass murders at or around places of worship. Churches in Texas, Louisiana, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Colorado, and California, a Buddhist temple in Arizona, a Sikh temple in Wisconsin. Chin says most churches don't need armed security. They need people who know when to call the authorities.
The most essential part of security is simply an awareness. Having one or two people who are focused on things that we call a DLR, don't look right.
Given what happened last night, many religious leaders are taking no chances. Kate Snow, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with some of the day's other news, including some news about this broadcast. We want to turn to some of the other stories we're following for you. It is day 13 of the manhunt for those two escaped convicts in upstate New York. The attorney for Lyle Mitchell, husband of accused accomplice Joyce Mitchell, told NBC News exclusively today that Lyle knew about his wife Joyce's previous relationship with an inmate. And when he was visiting his wife in jail this week, his lawyer says he wanted answers about how she could have done all of this. His attorney adds Lyle Mitchell cannot stand by his wife through this. After months of speculation, Pope Francis today released his encyclical to the world and did not sugarcoat it. It was a call to action on climate change, the Pope warning that the earth is becoming, quote, an immense pile of filth, and saying we must reduce what he calls compulsive consumerism. He also says rich nations must reduce fossil fuel use to pay, quote, an ecological debt to poor and developing nations. The $10 bill is getting a makeover, and for the first time in a century, a woman's face will appear on U.S. paper currency. Beginning in 2020, a woman will replace Alexander Hamilton on the 10. The woman has not yet been chosen, but earlier this year, a vote was held as part of a grassroots campaign, and Harriet Tubman was the favorite. And we have some news of our own you may have heard about today. NBC News announced that starting Monday, Lester Holt will officially take over as the anchor of this broadcast. Brian Williams is staying with the NBC family. He'll be covering breaking news with our colleagues at MSNBC when his suspension ends in August. There has obviously been a lot of speculation about Brian, and tomorrow he will address it all for the first time publicly in an interview with my colleague Matt Lauer on Today. And we will share that interview here on Nightly tomorrow evening as well. And one more note, Lester will be here on Monday. When we come back, echoes of the past, the church massacre here leading so many to ask, how far have race relations really come in this country? Finally, tonight, through the grief here in Charleston, we are once again confronted with the troubling state of race relations in this country. We have witnessed so much recently, and now this attack on one of America's historic black churches, sanctuaries that have so often become targets over the generations. Here's Harry Smith.
If you're old enough to remember when four young girls were killed on a Sunday morning in Birmingham, Alabama, you thought you'd seen the worst. If you remember the batons and the beatings on a bridge in Selma, Alabama, then you knew you witnessed evil. 50 years ago, it seemed racism had met its match.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! We are free at last!
And it did, to a point. A martyr fell, and laws were changed, and some hearts were changed, too.
But whatever happened to that affirmation of equality? Perhaps the virus of racism never died. It just lay dormant, only to flare up again in new ways.
A man dies in police custody in Baltimore, pushing people to the streets. In lots of places in our land, there is unease. There is distrust. Aren't all men created equal? Stephen Adams is a student at the Citadel.
I think it's something that is a common occurrence in our society, and I think people are becoming more and more numb to those things.
Numb to the value of another person's life. What harms our neighbor harms us. Why is that so hard to understand? Harry Smith, NBC News, Charleston.
And that will do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie reporting from Charleston, South Carolina. I'll see you from here tomorrow morning on Today. For all of us at NBC News, have a good evening.